Dear sons and daughters, how easy it is in life, especially as Christians, to be or meet with brothers who know how to serve two masters, or rather believe they can be in place by serving God and the world. We all know, or rather should be a principle on which to plot the path of our Christian life, how important it is to always discern the way of God, quite different from that of the world. The readings today, brothers and sisters, lead us to reflect on the proper use of money and material goods. The gospel has some very important and very well-known phrases. One cannot serve God and money. The children of the world are more prudent than the children of the light. In different tradition, those who belong to the world are more clever in their business than those who belong to the light. The first reading taken of the prophet Amos can serve to describe the situation of corruption which is found in the world. The prophet accuses and strongly reproaches those who commit fraud, the vendors, and the scruples that became rich at the expense of the poor and raised their prices, taking advantage of others' needs. The gospel today relates, in the long version, the parable of the unfaithful steward. However, this is a case of fraud. A rich proprietor must fail his steward because he has squandered the goods that he was in charge of managing. In fact, the steward, seeing himself without income, with the purpose of assuring the help of friends at a later date. This strategy consists of reducing the debts of the clients of his master. Or perhaps the unfaithful steward reduced from the debt the portion that he was owed as steward. The parable and the words of Jesus can sound a little confusing if we do not review them carefully. Notice that the Lord does not expressly approve of the conduct of the steward who is qualified as unfaithful. He simply highlights his cleverness and the very well-known phrase of Jesus, the children of the world are more prudent than the children of the light, sounds more like a complaint from the Lord. The complaint consists of this: those who follow and wants to be close to him are not shrewd to care for what the Lord calls in the gospel the true wealth. And what is true wealth? It is spiritual goods that are necessary to arrive at our goal, which is heaven. Actually, those who wish to follow God and to obey his commandments are sometimes lazy, not always clever or shrewd in reassuring the goods that never ends, the spiritual goods. In reality, the reproach from the Lord calls us to vigilance in spiritual things, because we each will have our moment. It is the moment that we cannot escape. It comes to all of us sooner or later. It is the moment that the Lord, just like us, like the steward from the parable, will ask all of us to account for the only business which is truly important. Let us be astute. Let us be clever in the business of our salvation, the business of reassuring the eternal gainings of heaven. What does it mean to be shrewd in the spiritual life? It means that we must take advantage of the graces that God gives us. We have the sacraments available to us, especially the reconciliation and the Holy Eucharist. The best proof of our spiritual cleverness consists in searching and doing only God's will in our life. And this is done not only by fleeing from sin and confessing when it is necessary, but also by always seeking the will of God. The gospel ends with the phrase of Jesus, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. The Lord is specifically referring to money. In fact, he finishes his sentence with these words: you cannot serve both God and money. Money seduces, it blinds, it provokes divisions, it awakes ambitions, instincts, it causes the most determinate, sacred, saintly, and noble principles succumb. It hardens the heart, dehumanizes, and even makes and forget about God. Money must be used in such a way that it is not an obstacle in reaching eternal life. In researching eternal life, money can be an obstacle for salvation. But money, well used, can help us with salvation. It can be an investment in the only business that is important. We make this investment when we are not attached to money and we share it with generosity, dedicating it to the needs of others, for contributions or organized works of charity, the needs of the church, etc. This does not mean that heaven can be bought or that we are reassured eternal salvation. It means that acting this way, we prevent money from diverting us from the path to heaven. Many times in the gospel, the Lord warns about the danger of riches because we tend to attach ourselves to money and what money can get us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord warns us, you can be attached to God or you can be attached to money, but we cannot be attached to both. We either trust in God or we trust in money. We are no longer speaking of illicit and sinful gains as the one the prophet Amos describes. We are proposing honesty in the managing of the goods that we possess. We are speaking them of the proper use of the wealth that we obtain legally. If we do not detach ourselves from money and material goods that we acquire with money, it can become an unmanageable temptation. We could seas to be owners and stewards of our money. Money, in many times, can become a tyrant that takes away our liberty to dedicate ourselves to the truly important business, our salvation and our service to God's will. In the second reading, St. Paul speaks to us of the saving will of God for all of us. God wills everyone to be saved. God has created all of us for heaven. He does not want anybody to be condemned. He wants all of us to be with him in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us remember today the important advice that the readings today gives us. Proper use of material goods. Sureness in our spiritual life is to be faithful to God. Our true business is that of eternal life. It means our salvation. And we know, brothers and sisters, that the church is a community of believers where there is a place for everybody. It is true that there is a certain preference in the church for the poor, which is more than justified. But the church belongs to all of us, and it is for all. That is why I invite you to listen this short prayer for the rich people. God, all powerful and eternal, look at your children, the rich, with the heart of a father. Instill in them a filial spirit towards you and a fraternal heart towards all people, especially for those who are most in need of help. Lord Jesus Christ, being rich, you became poor to enrich us with your poverty. Be for all the rich of this world a model of freedom to opt for the goods that do not perish. Sanctify in spirit, illuminate the magnets of finances with the light of faith, of charity, and hope that does not deceive, so that their decisions be guided by justice and solidarity. Amen.